You're listening to North by Northeast on 88.9 KETR. It's 9:30. I'm Mark Haslett, a little Steve Earle, as we ease into the late morning here on this Tuesday. The sun is shining and water is flowing out of local taps. Yeah, there's a boil notice in effect, but things could be much worse. I think that we all appreciate some of the simple pleasures in life after having been deprived of them part of last week. Our guest in the KETR studios this morning is Commerce City Manager Howdy Listenby. So let's talk about that boil water notice and about how long do we expect that to be in effect and what's the process?
Sure, Mark. As you alluded to earlier in the segment, there are a couple of things that will trigger a community to go into a boil water notice. One of those is a loss of system pressure, which is what we experienced last week. The pressure went below 20 PSI, so in that condition, there is a risk that contaminated water can backflow into the distribution system, travel down a pipe, and then go into somebody's house. And so anytime system drops, you have to go into a boil water alert. You also alluded to if we were to lose our chemical treatment capacity, which we did not lose, we lost system pressure. The third one is if you have a positive bacteriological sample. We have not had any of those triggers either. So once you're under a boil water alert, there's a process you have to follow to come out of that. And so now that we have system pressure restored and have maintained it above 20 PSI, yesterday afternoon we were at 50 pounds of pressure across the distribution system, which is really good. We'll pull water samples today and send those to a laboratory in the North Metroplex that we use to do. It's an independent third-party lab. They'll run bacteriological tests, and those tests usually take 24 hours to process. If we turn the water in today, it's possible we could get results tomorrow. Assuming everything clears, we could potentially lift the boil water notice tomorrow. The only challenge is, as you mentioned, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of communities that are under a boil water alert right now.
Yeah, plenty.
Yeah, and so the labs are getting slammed. Assuming they can get our test results tomorrow, we can potentially lift the ban tomorrow. It could potentially go into Thursday, depending on how quick they can turn those lab tests around.
Okay, so maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday. It depends on the lab. And, of course, it depends on the results. But yeah, we are cautiously optimistic that the results aren't going to be the issue, that the results should come back good. And we're really just waiting on the lab to verify.
That is our hope, yes.
Now, that is not a state lab. These are private labs that contract with the state. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Just to make sure that we all know what we're talking about here. And we're going to open up the phone lines here. I hope that some folks can give us a call. We are at 800-882-5387. That's 1-800-882-KETR. And hope that somebody is out there and is interested in calling this morning, because we'd love to get some live phone conversation on the air. We don't do that as often as we'd like around here. It's not we're indifferent to that sort of thing. It's just that we don't always have just tons of people crawling around these studios producing programs. We've got a pretty small staff roster here at KETR, but we are all hands on deck this morning as we're joined by City Manager Howdy Listenby, the Commerce City Manager, talking about the water situation here in Commerce. 800-882-5387. That's 1-800-882-KETR. Our producer, Jared Knight, is standing by. And looks like we've got a caller. Good morning. You are on KETR.
So, to the water situation in Commerce now, and I'm kind of wondering whether we have opted out of using water towers for back pressure on the water. Still one in Commerce. But I know cities have opted towards pressurizing the lines mechanically as opposed to using water towers for gravity pressure. Is that currently a situation in Commerce?
This is Howdy. I'll take that question. No, we have not opted out of using elevated storage tanks for gravity pressure. Most water utilities will use a combination of elevated storage, where you put the water up in the air and the weight of that water creates the pressure throughout the distribution system. But then when you turn the pumps on to push more water into the system, that will additionally add pressure. We do not run our pumps all the time to maintain mechanical system pressure. Once we have the towers full, we turn the pumps off. And then as the community uses water, it will draw that water tower down. Once the water level in the tower hits a certain threshold, we turn the pumps on, add more water to the system, refill the towers, and then we turn the pumps off. So we use a combination of gravity pressure from the towers as well as mechanical pressure from the pumps, but we are not maintaining system pressure mechanically through the pumps.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate the answer.
Great question.
1-800-882-5387 is the number to call here at KETR. We're joined by Commerce City Manager Howdy Listenby, and he's taking questions about the water situation in Commerce. Right now, we're under a boil water notice that we expect to remain under definitely for the rest of the day. We are hoping that the lab down in DFW will give us the thumbs up and we'll be able to lift that boil water notice sometime Wednesday, but there's lots of cities that are sending their water samples to these laboratories, so we're not certain of when we'll get word back from them. We might not be able to lift the boil water notice until Thursday if things go slowly. We are at the mercy of the system. There's no shortcut, Howdy.
We've kind of been at the mercy of forces beyond our control for a little over a week now, and it's not a comfortable place to be in.
No, it's not the best place to be. And folks were asking me last week, they said, well, when's the water going to be back? And it's just like, I mean, it's a fair question in that it's definitely something that's important to all of us. But I don't understand that question, because if things were in hand and if we were in control of the situation, then none of this would even be happening.
Well, and it's a fair question, and honestly, it's a question that deserves an answer. Unfortunately, many times the only answer we have is, I don't know. The challenge in making a guess, you know, my crystal ball is not better than anyone else's. If I give you my best guess and say it's going to be tomorrow, but we're dependent on forces beyond our control to hit that, well, tomorrow roll around and there's a chance we don't hit it. Well, then people start losing trust for us because we said we'd have it tomorrow and we didn't. Well, then we'll say, okay, the next day. And then we don't hit that date and then they trust us less. So there's a hesitance to give a projection because you aren't in control of your ability to hit it. But it's a fair question and it deserves an answer.
Now, there was a time during the events of last week on Thursday when the city did not make a prediction, but there was an optimistic.
Our goal has always been Monday. That was our goal, and we were able to hit it.
Okay. But I do remember Thursday last week that there was a little bit of optimism that y'all might be able to get back online before that, and then the water pressure didn't rise as expected. So what was the situation with that?
Well, and once we got the plant back online, we were not able to restore full treatment capacity as quickly as we thought we could. Some of that because of the cold and elements within the treatment plant that had frozen. And we had to bring heaters out in the middle of the night and thaw ice off of critical equipment that's part of the treatment process. And so part of the stark reality, the blunt reality and the facts that we've got to deal with for our treatment plant is it was built in the 60s and has not had a major upgrade. There was a little bit of work done in the 80s, but there have been no major upgrades to that plant in the 60 plus years that it's been in operation. And so it's aged, and in some areas it has not aged well. When I joined the team about 4 months ago, I started very quickly just listening to the team that I had. You and I talked about how you have to go through a process of knowing who's on your team. And listening to the water team that serves this community, they began to point out areas that they were very concerned with about our sustained ability to produce water, one of those being the filters at the water treatment plant. And so out of the conversations I had with staff, we took that to the city council, I believe in December. I'll have to go back and look at the minutes. But we took to the council our concerns about the water treatment plant and took a project that's about $1.5 million of work that needs to be done at the plant to repair the filters, because that's really what limits our capacity. The council heard us. They approved the project, and they approved our funding. And so last week, during the power outages, we were able to find enough power to hold a city council meeting, and they gave us the final approval to borrow the money, if you will. We sold certificates of obligation, and we funded the project to repair the water treatment plant, and that was something that started before the cold weather ever hit, because we knew it was a vulnerability. We were hoping to fix it before the storm hit. And so our engineers are currently under design right now for significant improvements to the water treatment plant, which will include a generator. One of the weaknesses, one of the vulnerabilities, we did not have a backup generator at the water treatment plant. I think you'll find across the state of Texas, many of these communities did not have generators because everybody gambled. We don't have major system grid failures. If the power goes out, it's for a short period of time. We don't have major Alaska-type winter events. And so everybody looked at the risk and said, we don't have to have a generator. Well, yes, we do. Right. Very clearly, yes, we do. And so the project we're working on right now will restore all of the capacity of our filters and provide a generator for future needs so that we've got more reliability and more sustainability in our plant.
So when did the council give the thumbs up to those upgrades?
I believe, I'll have to go back and look at the agenda. I think it was our December meeting. Okay. When I first brought this project to the council. I joined the team in November, started listening to our water staff that serves this community. They were very concerned with the state of our plant. We took it to council. Council got on board immediately and backed this. And so we started the project before the weather hit, but the weather knocked us out, unfortunately.
Well, still, that's fairly prescient of you to have identified that as a need. Do you want to go work for ERCOT?
No.
I think that they could use some of that hope for the best but plan for the worst kind of thinking, because there were some folks that perhaps have even more resources than the City of Commerce who chose not to invest in those preventive systems. But, well, that's really good news to know that this was on everybody's minds a couple of months before this event.
Yes, sir.
So that we already have some momentum towards getting these upgrades done. The City of Commerce water system, born in the 60s with no major upgrades since then. I think I can relate to that personally.
Well, and I am very thankful. This is not a selfless plug, but I'm very thankful for a council that was willing to hear their staff and approve a project and approve a pretty significant funding package to make it happen, because they also recognized how important this infrastructure is. Just Mother Nature threw us a curveball before we were ready.
1-800-882-5387 is the number to call us at KETR. You're listening to North by Northeast. I'm Mark Haslett, Commerce City Manager. Howdy Listenbe in the studios this morning. 800-882-5387. That's 1-800-882-KETR. We'll be here for the next 15 minutes taking your calls should you choose to call. 800-882-5387. Howdy, speaking of backup generators, y'all did get one. So how did that process work?
I'm going to have to take a step back and recognize some of the key efforts of our team that have helped us get through this. And one of those is going to be our public safety director, Chris Bassam. He has been incredibly efficient and full of ingenuity. He's got connections that I've never dreamed of being able to have. And so he knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy who used generators to do major concert events all over Texas and other states. And so they made some phone calls, and the guy who knew a guy who knew a guy was like, yeah, we've got a big generator that we use for concerts. We think it's in Oklahoma, but they weren't sure, and they found it. It was not being used for any concerts at the time. So they loaded it up and brought it to us. And so the generator we have, we're renting. It's out there. It's powered up. And on the side of the generator, it's labeled for concerts and events.
Well,
it's beautiful music to hear the plant running.
Yeah, restoration of water counts as an event. So somebody put that thing on a trailer and slipped and slided all the way down from Oklahoma.
Well, it's on wheels, so they probably connected to it and pulled it themselves. But yeah, they drove it from a significant distance away to get to our community.
In less than ideal road conditions.
We're very grateful for that.
Wow. Well, that's great news. So speaking of folks stepping up and helping out, there were some water distribution efforts in town over the weekend to help folks get through the weekend. So could you describe what happened as far as providing both potable and non-potable water to people in Commerce during this crisis?
Sure. We've been fortunate to get a number of donations of bottled water. Some of those from organizations that just wanted to pitch in and help and donate water. Some of that from the state emergency management. And so our fire department and some of our parks department have been working to hand out water to customers as they come through the fire station. We're able to coordinate with the university. The university's done a phenomenal job of being a resource with us, and they are also distributing water as it becomes available to them as well. There's been a great collaboration between the city and the university to work through this crisis. As we deal with issues in the water distribution system, I don't know if people realize we only have 4 employees that manage the entire water distribution and the sewer collection system for this community. And so Joe Davis and Wes Thompson, David and Billy have been working tirelessly around the clock to keep people, as they find leaks in their homes, they show up to help turn the water off. We're not able to repair people's private water lines, but they've been chasing all over town, finding leaks and working with people to help get water issues resolved.
Well, credit where it's due, and thanks very much to those workers who are behind the scenes most of the time, but were front and center over the past week or so. We're going to take a short break, and before we do, we'll give you the phone number. We'd love to hear from you this morning at KETR. The number is 800-882-5387, 1-800-882-5387 is the number to call. We'll be live here with Commerce City Manager Howdy Listenbe until 10 o'clock. So while we take this break, why don't you pull out your phone and give us a call, 800-882-5387. You're listening to North by Northeast on 88.9. You're listening to North by Northeast on 88.9 KETR in Commerce. I'm Mark Haslett, Commerce City Manager. Howdy Listenbee is with us today. And we got a call during the break. Good morning, caller. You are on the air. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. So there's several reservoirs going in north central Texas now I was wondering whether those are going to provide water for Commerce future use, or is that specifically going to be for the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area?
Great question. This is Howdy. Matt, I am not aware. Commerce has not participated in any of the planning or in the cost sharing of those new reservoirs that are going in around the region. And so we have water supply contracts and water rights that we already hold. And so we are not looking to bring any of those new supplies online, because we feel like we have enough water to meet our future demands with the supplies we currently have in hand. And those new water supplies come at a tremendous cost to the communities that participate. And we didn't feel like it was justified to ask our community to pay for a reservoir that we technically don't need supply from. And so we've got a really large supply of water that we have access to from Lake Tewakinee. We technically have some rights to Lake Cooper. And then we've got some groundwater supplies. And so as we look to the future for our community, I'm very confident in the water supply that we have. We've got to deal with the water treatment and the water distribution infrastructure that's aging.
Very good. Thank you.
Great question.
I appreciate your call. Great question. Thank you very much, Matt, for calling in this morning. 800-882-5387 is the number to call. You're listening to North by Northeast on 88.9 KETR. Commerce getting about 3/4 of its water from Lake Tewakinee, about 1/4 of its water from some groundwater wells located east of Commerce. And you mentioned also we have some rights for Cooper Lake. How does that work? Is that like a backup?
Well, when Cooper Lake was being formed, Commerce participated and was one of the entities that was involved in the creation of that lake. And so we've got some rights to water out of Cooper Lake. We worked with the Northern Trinity Water District, and so we didn't sell our rights, but we've got a contract with North Trinity. And so they are using the water, and they are paying for the water that comes out of Cooper because it's in excess of what we need right now. But should growth in the future push us to where we need water, we have access to water out of Cooper.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So how do the process where these new reservoirs get approved, planned, implemented, all of that goes back to the state water plan.
That's correct.
Which operates on a 7-year cycle.
5-year cycle, 50-year planning window.
Okay. Well, I apologize for that. 5 years on the cycle. And the plan is written as a synthesis of the various regional plans.
Sure.
And Commerce sits right on the edge of one of these regions. And so when you say that Commerce has not participated in the state water plan, what does that mean? And what would it look like were Commerce to be more engaged in this water planning process? What would be the benefits for the city going down the road?
Sure, I'll try to hit that quickly. The state water plan, every 5 years, they start an updating planning process, and they'll reach out to the counties, the cities, the water suppliers, and ask, what are your projections? What do you think your population's going to do? What do you think your water demands are going to do? And everybody will turn in how much water they think they need, and then they'll put together a plan for how to acquire the water that's necessary to meet those future demands. Commerce has not participated in that process, so effectively somebody else outside of Commerce is making projections of who we're going to be when we grow up and I think that's to the detriment of our community. Finally, if you have identified projects in the state water plan, there is a program the state of Texas put together. It's called SWIFT, State Water Infrastructure for Texas. It is a funding mechanism for major water projects where you can get zero interest or low interest money to fund water projects. But you don't access SWIFT funds if you're not in the state water plan. And as of the most recent water plan that was put together, Commerce has not identified any projects that would impact our future water supply. We're working to change that.
Wow. So that's some money that's being left on the table.
Correct.
And I understand why Commerce wasn't as engaged as some other communities in the state water planning process, because as you mentioned, we're fortunate around here in that supply is not as big a concern as it is in some other parts of the state, like way out in West Texas, where they are basically having to move away from surface water entirely. Of course, it wasn't that long ago when we had that region-wide drought that showed the vulnerability of systems that depended on surface water. But here in Northeast Texas, we're doing okay as far as supply goes. And so there hasn't been that much incentive to participate in the state water plan. But as you point out, Howdy, if we did start participating in that state water plan, we would get some money for some projects that are much needed.
Correct.
You're listening to North by Northeast on 88.9 KETR in Commerce. Our guest this morning has been Commerce City Manager Howdy Listenby, and we've been discussing the water situation, which fortunately is looking a lot better. We're still under a boil water notice in Commerce, and we will be under that notice for the rest of the day. We might get word tomorrow or maybe Thursday that we're back to normal, but like so many things out of this crisis, we're just going to have to wait and see how it goes. Texas Standard is up next here on 88.9 KETR. The time is 10 o'clock.